I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will have what it says I will have.
I will have what it says I will have.
I'm a part of Deliverance Temple.
Where we love
by living our vision every day.
Living
our
vision
every day.
We do this
by connecting to our Creator continually.
By confessing our deliverance consistently.
By committing to serve creatively.
And by communicating Christ's love compassionately.
Pastor Andre,
feed me this word.
Come on, put your hands together. Amen. So last week we talked about where is the gift. And we talked from Timothy, both 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And the major premise is that God has placed some stuff down on the inside of you and you can't neglect it. You got to stir it up. But there was one key scripture that I wanted to lift out to help segue into what I'm talking about this morning. And that key scripture was 2 Timothy 1 and 7. And Mother Mitchell, would you read that?
For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
As we looked at it, we see one of the drawbacks of Timothy operating in his gift was the simple spirit of fear. And God says to us, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. But it's the power that began to pique me for what I wanted to talk about this morning. And what I'm going to talk about this morning is going to sound odd, but I promise you, I'm going to work it to where you can understand it. So the title of the message this morning is simply this, the prepositional God. Somebody say the prepositional God. For some of y'all, that's the first time you ever said that word. The prepositional God. In order to set this up, I got to stop preaching for just a second and give you a grammar lesson. And so what we're going to do, we're going to start off and give you a definition of preposition. Definition of preposition. It is a function word that typically combines with a noun phrase. Prepositions typically show how the noun phrase or pronoun is related. The word I want to bring to you is related to another word in the sentence. Then prepositions show direction, location, or relationship to an object. They are usually followed by a noun, noun phrase, or pronoun. The most common prepositions are little and very common. At, by, for, from, in, of, on, to, with. Those little words are actually power-packed words, and we just use them in normal conversation, but they're prepositions. They're showing the relationship between something and an object. If I was to say that I am in my car, that lets you know I'm not in the bathtub, I'm not at the church, I'm not at the house, I'm in the car. The car is important, I'm important, but the little word in shows you the relationship between me and the car. All right, put this up, this will help us. There's power in the prepositions. So as I begin to look at prepositions as it related to God, I found out there's great power in the prepositions. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power. But in some of these little words, in the ins and the buts and the ats, buts actually conjunctive word, but God uses in his word little words that create major truths. And I'll give you the conjunction one. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's powerful, but just the simple part, but God. You can shout over, but God. I was lost, but God. I was depressed, but God. I was sick, but God. I was broke,
but God. Only three letters, but it shows great power. But that's just a conjunctive word. I want to work with some of the prepositions and show you some powerful stuff. And somebody say, well, this don't look like a Christmas message. Well, at least I put a Christmas tree up there to make you at least feel good. No, but I felt like I can do this through the Christmas story as well. So let's start in Matthew 1 and 18.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph.
I'll stop you right there. They were in the fiancé status. He had done like Beyonce said. He had put a ring on it. Read some more.
But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit.
Now hold on, men. If you engage to somebody and y'all ain't done anything, and she show up pregnant and tell you it was the Holy Spirit, the devil is a lie. We going to Maury Povich tomorrow. We don't even need to go to Maury Povich. I ain't done nothing with you. So sometimes when we tell the Christmas story, we talk about how great Mary was, but Joseph had to be a bad fella, because how you gonna tell me the Holy Spirit? I don't know the Holy Spirit to do what you talking about he's done. He don't do me like that, so I don't know what you're talking about. Next verse.
Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly.
Wait just a second. I got to take a quick rabbit trail. He was faithful to the law of God, but he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. Deliver me of saints that always want to uncover somebody else's stuff to expose people in public places. Joseph said, this don't look right. I don't want to be with her, but I don't want to dog her out. Maybe she made a mistake and I don't want to stay with her, but I ain't got to broadcast it on Facebook. I'm just going to ask her, give me that ring back. Just give me the ring back and we can go on our ways. But I ain't got to talk to you all kinds of crazy ways. And let me let you know something, women. He may act like he loves you, but the moment you say no, he calls you all out your name. That's a man that you don't need to be with. Amen. Because he's trying to publicly disgrace you or privately disgrace you. But Joseph had a right to disgrace, but he chose not to. Hopefully we take that. When you catch somebody in the sin, God says we got to learn how to cover. Some folk, when you catch folk in the sin, they get on 911 and let everybody know. And when people, I'm going to stay on this rabbit trail just for a second. And when people do that, it's because they have their own sins. And as long as they can put the light on somebody else, it makes them feel better about their stuff. But no matter who you point at, they told us this in school. When you point one finger, it's several fingers pointing right back at you. And I know they try to tell you that Santa knows what you're doing, but let me tell you something. God knows what you're doing. So you can point somebody else if you want to. You can point out somebody else's stuff, but God knows what you got going on. And I've had so much stuff going on in me, I don't point at nobody but the mirror. All right, verse 20.
But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
So she wasn't lying to me. And I don't blame Joseph for not wanting to mess around and go forward with this, but God sent an angel to let him know. Now, here's something I need you to understand. If you are telling the truth, and it doesn't look like you're telling the truth, because it didn't look like Mary would be telling the truth, but God sent an angel to prove that what she was saying was the absolute truth. So you don't ever need to chase down a lie, because God has a way of proving you when you're right. All right, let's read some more.
She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
Because we get this from the Greek and then it's translated in the English, it comes out as Jesus. But if you go back to the Hebrew, it is Yeshua.
And if you translate Yeshua into English, it's Joshua, and it means the Lord saves. So he not only did he say, listen, this is from the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to help y'all with the baby names right away. I'm going to tell you his name is going to be Jesus because of what he will do. They named him based on what he will do. I got to take another quick rabbit trail, real quick one. Stop naming these kids these dumb, ignorant names. You try to name them based off of what they're going to do. And some of that stuff that you name in them, they will never be able to get an application with the names that you name in the kids. So just think that through. I don't want to stay on that too long. Just think it through. All right, let's go again. Let's read some more. Verse 22.
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet.
All right, so there was a prophecy that is starting to line up. There's actually several prophecies, but we're just going to talk about this one. It's a prophecy that's beginning to line up. Next verse. And they're going to tell us what the prophecy said. The prophecy, I don't have it up here, but it comes out of Isaiah. Read.
The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
This is awesome, but it's confusing. Because just a verse or so ago, he said, you're going to name him Jesus. And it says this lines up with the prophecy. But the prophecy says you're going to call him Emmanuel. Now, I don't know if y'all see what I see. Jesus and Emmanuel sound different to me. Jesus means Lord save. Emmanuel means God with us. Let's read some more, because sometimes you have to keep reading to clear up the confusion. Let's read verse 24.
When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife.
He went ahead and sealed the deal. Go ahead.
But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son.
I like Joseph. Joseph is smooth to me. I don't know what you and the Holy Spirit got going on, but I'm not touching you until whatever he's doing with you is out your body. I don't want no lightning striking me. You look good. You look lovely. I like your lingerie, but I'm not touching you until whatever you got in you comes out of you. I don't blame Joseph. Joseph wasn't taking no chances. I'm not going to consummate the marriage, no honeymoon, no nothing until I know what you and the Holy Spirit got going on. But then read.
And he gave him the name Jesus.
He followed through and gave him the name Jesus. But the scripture says he will be called Emmanuel. I'm a little confused, but it brings me to my first prepositional phrase. Put this up. It is God with us. Now, let me give you the revelation that I saw. The Jesus was based on what he would do, but the manual is based on his calling. His calling was to be God with us. His calling, his greatest calling, is to be God with us. Yes, he saves, and he saves to the uttermost, but his highest desire was to be God with us. And you see it in the garden, because he walked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve, but they messed it up. But he still wanted to be with his people, with us. Now, somebody says, okay, I don't quite understand what you're saying, but just look at it this way. God had a son, but he wanted a family. And the Bible says he traded his son to get the family. And the reason why, because he just doesn't want to be God in the clouds and God in the imagination, but he wants to be God with us. Sometimes we look at the story of the gospel as what God has done for us because of his love, and it's true, but we also have to look at what God done for us because of his feelings. God wants to be with his children. He created us as the only people or the only beings that would be in his direct image. He wants relationship with us. Now, I love all of y'all. I love all of y'all. Y'all some good-looking people. But none of y'all move me like the ones that have my DNA. the ones that look like me. And that one that Devin slipped in, she stole one and one looked just like her. I don't know how she did that, but I love the ones that look like us. And at the end of the day, I would trade everything in to be with the ones I love. I love all of y'all. But if I had to choose between this and them, I'm going to choose them, because there's a connection between me and them because I fathered them. And here's the thing you've got to understand, especially when you think about Christmas, that God wanted to be with us. And so he gave his son, but we always talk about him giving the son, but we forget that the son had to be willing to come. And I wonder how that conversation was going to be, where God said, I know you a king and I know you walk with streets of gold, but they're not ready for you. So when you show up, there'll be no room in the inn, and we're going to have to wrap you in swaddling clothes, and we're going to have to lay you in a manger, and you're going to have to be around the goats and the lambs and the cows. And Jesus said, I'm still going to go, because whoever you love, I love. Whoever you want, I want. And if you need somebody to bring the family together, I'll go. And God said, it's not just the manger, but then you're going to have to grow up. And then after all you do, they're going to put you on an old rugged cross, and they're going to kill you and beat you. And Jesus said, I'll still go, because whoever you love, I love, because I want to be God with us. His desire was to be with us in relationship to us. So the first power of the preposition is God with us. Now, as much as I love this, I'm just one of those simple preachers that when something doesn't make sense, I got to talk about it. So let's read some more. Let's go to Matthew 27 and 50.
And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit.
Now, this is when he dies. So my question is, if the whole plan was to get God with us, why did he die? Let's read the next verse I have.
When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God.
This was the Son of God. But he's dead now. Well, we've been in church long enough to know that 3 days later, he got up off the ground with all power in his hand. So that's good. That's some shouting music. And a lot of folk don't come but Christmas and Easter. So if they know anything, they know about him in the manger, and they know about him coming out of the ground. But I got to ask the follow-up question. Read this next verse, Luke 24:50.
The ascension. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them.
Next verse.
While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven.
All right, hold up. You're confusing me, God, because if it's God with us, why you die and then you come back alive, and after you come back alive, you leave? If it's supposed to be God with us, Why you play so much, Jesus? What y'all doing? I don't understand. Why are you leaving? Do you understand how maybe the Jews at the time would have felt? You telling me all this about setting up a kingdom and being the Messiah and being with me, and now you're gone. Now, let's go to my next prepositional phrase. God in us. See, this is what we have to understand. In the beginning, in the garden, God was with them. But God being with them didn't stop them from messing up and doing something that they shouldn't have done. Even though he was with them, it didn't stop them from being tricked. It didn't stop them from being tempted. He was with them, but he wasn't in them. And so what they said, listen, we're going to work this again, but we're going to send my son. But my son is not going to just be with. He wants to make a path road in, because the only real way to stay with you always is to be in you. But how does this work? Let's read. First of all, let's look at this as we paint the Christmas story. Basically, he was born to die. He was born not just so you can give gifts to somebody. He was born to die. But the reason why he died and rose is so that he would have an inroad in, not just God with, but God in. Say that with me. Say, not just God with, but God in. Now, here's something else you got to understand. When he came, he had to come legally, which means he couldn't come as everything that he was. He was 100% God, but if he was going to come through the birthing canal, he had to be 100% man. He had to strip himself of some of his divinity in order to get here. So when he came as God, but he was wrapped in man. And so that's why it talks about him being wrapped in swaddling clothes and stuck in a manger, because he was stuck in a fleshly body. He was confined to the rudiments of the flesh. He was God, but he couldn't do all his God stuff. And one thing he couldn't do as a man, he couldn't be with everybody at the same time. So he says, I've got to go so that I can come back and be in, but I can't be in this fleshly body. I got to come as flesh so I can take the flesh to the cross, but I can't stay here. I got to go back up and send you something that can be not only with you, but in you. I'm preaching the gospel message right in front of your face. It's what God did so he could be with and in. All right, let's read. Let's go to the verse of John 12:31.
Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out.
Jesus, this is, if you look in the King James, these words are in red. So Jesus is saying this, and he makes a statement now. Now is the judgment of this world. Read.
And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself.
How many people? What does all mean? All right, let's go to the next verse.
He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die.
So he said, based on the death that he was going to die, it was going to cause him to be lifted up. And when he got lifted up, he was going to draw all men to himself. Let me just do a quick demonstration. I'll do it up here so everybody on the live can see. When they crucified you, they nailed you to the cross, but the cross was on the ground. And so when he was nailed down, and they put the nails in his hands and in his feet to nail him to the cross. But in order to get the cross up, they had a rope and they would pull the cross up so the cross would stand up. So when he stood up, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. That's a good place to shout. That's a good preaching place. But I'm not going to preach from there, because this still confuses me. I'm a simple preacher. I like the stuff we shout over, but this confuses me because all people are not drawn to him. Hitler wasn't drawn to Jesus. So I know he was lifted up, and it says that I'll draw all men unto me. All people. All means all, but don't look like all got drawn to him. So I'm a little confused. So let's go back. Let's go back to verse 32. Maybe I'm missing something. Read 32 again.
And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself.
Lifted up from the earth. Or maybe he's talking about when he comes up out of the ground, but all people are not with him. That's why we're preaching as hard as we're preaching, because all are not with him. So how could you say all and all's not there? Well, I do know the scripture says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, but there's a deeper revelation. And this is why I'm trying to paint the picture so you can get it. When you study this verse out, you see that it is talking about what we've always preached about, but it's talking about something much deeper than that. It's not that what we've said is incorrect, but it's somewhat incomplete. If you go back up to verse 31, it says, now is the judgment of this world. And if you look at it in its context, it's talking about judgment and not necessarily people. Is talking about the judgment. So let's go back to 33. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die.
So the death that he was going to die when he raised up, it drew all men's judgment to him. In other words, everything that you did, would do, ever thought about doing, what Jesus said is before they even get here, I'm going to take all the judgment that belongs to them. I'm going to draw it all to me. So when they do show up, they have access for me to be in them. I can't come in them with all the junk that's in their life. I got to judge them for the junk that's in their life. So what God and Jesus said, I'm going to put all the judgment on my son, and when I lift him up, all the sin, all the wrath, all the anger is going to come to me. And then when I put him in the ground, all the sin, all the wrath, all the lust, all the perversion is going to go in the ground. But when I raise him up, it's going to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. So what it means by the way that he died, he took away all the judgment so that when you showed up, because here's the thing, none of us lived during that time. So how can he forgive my sins and die for my sins and I wasn't even born? So what they did, they said, listen, we're going to take all the judgment. There's going to be a Hitler someday. It's going to be somebody crazy someday. I'm going to put it on me just in case somebody like that wants to turn around. I'm going to make it available ahead of time. Let me give you an example. If I told you, and Bishop used this a lot, if I told you that ahead of time, no matter where you go in this world, I've already paid the price for your hotel, pick any place, the price is already paid. What that means is you don't have to go now, but whenever you go, the price is paid. So whenever you come out your mama's womb, you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but a long time ago, the price was already paid, because he drew all men's judgment. He drew all men's sin unto him. So you get a chance no matter what you've done. Well, I want to come to church, but first I got to clean myself up. Baby, he did the cleaning for you. Well, how can you prove it to me? Because once he was up there, he said, it is finished. Everything that needs to be done for you to walk a life and receive so I can be in you was done a long time ago. But I'm gay. I can still get in you because I drew all the judgment. But I've sold dope in my life. It don't make a difference. I've already drawn the judgment. There's nothing you can do under the sun that can stop what I've already done. It is finished. I've drawn it to me. When they hoisted me up, they didn't know that it was all coming to me just in case. Now you still can say no to him, but he paid the price. Just in case. The greatest gift is not what you open on Tuesday. It's what he did on the cross of Calvary. Just in case. What if I said, the hotel I'm going to get you is going to cost $100,000 a night. And you go and go to it. And then you walk away from it and say, no, I'm not good enough to go inside. I've already paid it. I can't get my money back. Please go inside the hotel and enjoy what I've already paid for. And some people think I'm too dirty to go. But you don't understand. He can't get a refund on his death. He already died. They already beat him. They already stabbed him. They already smacked him. You might as well take what he's made available to you. You might as well unwrap the gift of salvation. And please don't wait till an altar call right now in your seat or through live stream. Why don't you say, God, come into my heart. Because it's not just God with, it's God in. So is there any way I can prove it through the scriptures? Let me tell you what Paul said.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live.
Hold on. We know that Paul was persecuting the church.
And Paul wasn't nowhere near the cross, but Paul said, I was crucified with Christ, but I'm still living. So when you see me, I'm nothing but a dead man walking, because what happened when he died, I died, because not just God with me, it's God. Oh, y'all hearing these prepositions? Yes. It's God in me.
In me.
All right, read.
Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Who?
Christ.
He lives where?
In me.
Okay, he couldn't live in you in a human body, but once he got up out of the ground and went back, now he can live in you. That was the plan all along, for him to live in you. All right, read.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
All I need is not to know all the scriptures, not to not do any sins. All I really need, thank you, my brother, all I really need is to have faith in the Son of God and his love for me. I believe he loves me. All right, let's go on. Now we can say this, 1 John 4:4, read that.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
My overcoming is not based on whether I never fail. My overcoming is based on the fact that the greater one lives in me. And even if I'm not getting it right now because of who lives in me, I got to get it right sometime. So I'm going to stay in this thing. I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand, because greater is he that is
in me.
Yes. And he that is in the world. Ephesians 3:17. A.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith.
Hold on. God did all of this work and said, this is how you get to access it. I just want your faith. I'm going to do all of this. I'm going to have God with you. I'm going to have God in you. And all I need is to have your faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by your faith. Well, that sounds too easy, preacher. I know they need to stop shacking up. I know they need to stop smoking dope. I know they need to stop prostituting, stop lying, stop gossiping. That sounds good, but that ain't what the Bible says. Okay, all right. I know you don't believe me, because you grew up in church all your life, and they told you all the stuff you got to do for God to come in you, and God don't come in no dirty vessel, and God, and you can't tell God where he can come and where he can go. If he would come in a manger in an inn with animals, he can come in your dirty, jacked up, messed up heart. You can't stop where God can go. David said, if I make my bed in hell, he'd find me there, because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. I still don't believe you, preacher, because y'all done let down the standard and y'all just do anything, and just anybody can be saved nowadays. Well, let's read what the Bible says. Acts 16:30.
And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Acts 16 is Paul and Silas at midnight, and they prayed, and the jail was shooken up, and the people that was in the jail, which were prisoners. So prisoners had done something most of the time to be in prison. It ain't like our day and age, if you have the wrong color, you go to prison. In them days and age, you went to prison because you did something wrong. Of course, there was probably some innocent people, but most of the people had done something wrong. So the prisoners who have done some nasty, dirty stuff said, what must I do to be saved? Well, you got to join Church of God in Christ. You got to join the Apostolic Missionary Baptist Church of the Living God. Wait a second. Before you do all that, well, you got to give 10% of everything that comes in your house. You got to stop gambling. You got to stop going to the show. You can't go to the park. But wait a second. Let's find out, what did the Bible say? These prisoners said, what must I do to be saved? Read the next verse.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.
It didn't say nothing about speaking in tongues. It didn't say nothing about how you was baptized. It didn't say about who your preacher was. It didn't say if you don't sow $33 on the 33rd of the month, you can't get in. It says all you got to do. No, wait, I know what it is. You got to buy miracle water from a green cloth from somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning. No, it says believe. If you can believe, you can receive, because the price was already paid. The Christmas story is that he was born to die. And he only asked one thing, just believe. All things are possible if you can just believe. And we're the church, I'm tired of telling you all the reasons why you're going to hell and all the stuff you got to stop and all you got to do. All I want to know is, can you believe? All right, so that's God with us. That's God in us, but it's too early for me to let y'all go because I don't have to go to work tonight, so I got to keep on going. Too early. Let me give you the next one. God on us. It's God with us, and I show you the path how he can come in us, but there was something that he said when he left out that lets us know it's not just God with and God in, but it's also God on. Let's read Luke 24 and 50, going back to the ascension. Well, actually, we won't read that. We'll just tell you it's coming back from that passage that we used earlier. So now we're going to back up and look at the 49th verse.
And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you.
Huh? Wait. Send the promise of the Father what?
Upon you.
Up on is a conjunction of two words. It's up
and on.
See, it has to be in you to come up out of you. But once it comes up out of you, it comes back on you. All right, look, that's maybe too deep. Let's keep going.
But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
Remember, I start talking about this service about power. All right, let's go to the next verse, Acts 1 and 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
Up and on. Uh-huh. See, here's the thing. The anointing in you is for strength, but the anointing on you is for works. If you're going to do anything for God, it's not just God with us and God in us, but what's in us got to get on us. And what happens?
And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Yes, it starts off with you believing, but if you're going to witness to them crazy folk on your job without cussing everybody out, you got to have something on you. That's why the Bible says put on the armor of God. It's not just enough to have him with us and in us for the junk we got to deal with, for the demons that are left around. I need something on me. Some of y'all, in order you to survive through the night with the crazy wife you got, you need something on you. In order you to make it with your crazy husband, you need something on you. I need something on. Thank God for being with and in, but I need something on me. Now, I don't know why he said preach when I said crazy wife. I don't know why he said it on that part. Let's look at the next verse that I got up there for you.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever.
Wait a second. It's back to the original calling of Emmanuel. He wasn't leaving his calling. He said, but I'm allowing something to come up and on you so that I can be with you forever. Now, here's what I got to explain. The Bible says that Adam and Eve, they were naked and not ashamed. They didn't know they were naked until they sinned. And here's the reason why, is because they were covered by the glory. But sin strips off the glory. And even though you saved and sanctified, you still sometimes slip into sin. And when you slip into sin, you get uncovered and exposed. So this is what God says. He said, see, here's what you got to understand. God can't stay with anybody that's exposed to sin. So that's why he had to get out of the garden and had to kick them out, because he can't operate. He's too holy to be with sin. Well, how are you going to tell me that God loves me because I sin, he's still with me? Here's the reason why. Because of what God put on you, he can tolerate you even in your sin. Because now he doesn't see your sin. He sees his blood. And he sees his son. So it's good to have him in you. But you need him on you. Because every now and then you get in some stuff that ain't godly, ain't holy, ain't sanctified at all. You act a whole monkey. You act a whole fool. You act ignorant and all kinds of stuff. And God still loves you because he put something on you. He covered you with his grace and his love and his mercy. And you think he's going to be mad at you because he saw your sin, but he couldn't see your sin. He saw his son. You ever heard the song that God blocked it? There's some stuff God shouldn't have blessed, but he blocked what I was looking like. And he covered me, because it's not just God with me and God in me. It's God on me. I'm glad that he's on me. And he said this way, he can abide with you forever. Even in your lowest point, even in your backslidden state, even when you're in a corner, in the back, in the booth, in the dark, slipping and grinning and chinning and doing all kinds of foolishness, he's there with you. He's waiting for you to come on out of your stupor. He's waiting for you, and he hasn't left you, because God will never leave you nor forsake you. But the reason why he won't leave you is because something is covering you. And that's why David, in his sin, made this statement. Whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. There's no way I can make it back if you pull back the covers off of my life and all my stuff is exposed. Whatever you do, you can take my kingdom, you can take my money, you can take my family, but don't let me lose the Spirit of the living God. Because that's the only thing on me keeping me with you. All right, put this up for us. That verse said, another comforter. In the Greek, is allos parakletos. Won't really talk too much about the parakletos, but that means coming alongside. It means that the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's coming alongside to help. But the allos is two Greek words. It's allos and heteros. Allos means another just like the one. Heteros means another different. I'll give you an example. Let's say I pull up to a stoplight in my red Cadillac and I see another black Cadillac just like mine passing. It's another one, but it's different, because mine is red, theirs is black. That would be heteros. Allos means that I pull up at the stoplight with my red Cadillac and somebody pulls up with a red Cadillac just like mine. It's another one just like mine. So what Jesus said is that I'm going to leave you another comforter, but it's going to be the same as me. So when I leave, I'm not really leaving. I'm sending something that's just like me. I'm sending God in the spirit form. First of all, it was God, the Godhead walking. But then it was God, the Son in flesh. But I'm going to send God, the Spirit, and he just like me. That's why the Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It's the same. But if you look up the Greek word allos, there's another word that we're familiar with, which is aloes. They come from the same Greek root. And aloes comes from the aloe vera plant, where a lot of times we get lotion with aloe in it. And what it means is that the cells in the aloe plant are very similar to the cells in the skin. That's why you can put aloes on your skin and it's so much like it, it protects the skin, because they're so similar, they're almost the same. Some of y'all know that in the winter season, y'all know y'all be ashy. And if you don't get some aloes on those joints, it'll make it look like it's supposed to look if you can put it on. What do you do with lotion? You put it on. If you're ashy, do you put lotion down in your mouth? If you're ashy, do you keep it on the side and say, I got the lotion with me? No, you don't need it with you and in you. You need it on you. So when he said, I'm going to leave you somebody just like me called the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to get on you. That's why you can take a quiet person and come in church and they can't be still, because the Holy Spirit is on them. We used to call it catching the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you just need to catch something every now and then to let you know God is on you. And I don't want you just catching it in church. I want you to catch it driving down the highway and know that this God is real and this God is good. I can be shopping for Christmas and still have a praise break and thank God, because it's not just God with me and in me. It's God on on me. God on me. Let me break it down. Romans 13:11.
And that, knowing the time.
Now let me stop here. Let me throw something out really quick and interesting. You may not notice this, but whenever Apostle on Apostle Sunday preaches something, normally it's found in what I'm preaching throughout the rest of the week, because he has the apostolic voice. He sets the tone. So I wouldn't miss First Sundays if I were you. But he talked about this, about awaking to righteousness, and it's found in my message to read.
And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.
Now this is interesting. They told those people, those prisoners, all you got to do is believe. Amen. But Paul said in Romans that salvation can be nearer than it was when you first believed. If it can be nearer, it can also be farther. So just because you believe and save doesn't mean you where God wants you to be, because some of y'all are farther away. And what the scripture says, you have fallen asleep. Because God is with me, God is in me, God is on me. I ain't got to go to church. I ain't got to read the Bible. No, you don't. But you lose something. Keep going out of the shower and hitting that hawk and watch how your skin gonna look. Don't put no lotion on. Don't put no chapstick on and watch how you gonna look. And some of y'all are dry in the skin. Some of y'all are spiritually ashy. And spiritually chapped, because just because you believe, it's not as near it was when you believe. Here's the thing. When you believe, you're supposed to grow. You're supposed to get closer to God. You're not supposed to believe and get further away from God. I know you're saved, but your life is raggedy. I know you're saved, but you don't put nothing in this. All right, let's read.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand.
The problem is this. The night is far spent. Time is winding up. I know you're saved and I know you believe you're going to heaven, but there's some more growth you need in your life. And I'm trying to tell you, wake up, because the night is far spent. And some of the places you go, you don't need to go. There's a bullet, a sign with your name on it. But the Holy Spirit that's trying to get on you is trying to tell you, don't go to the club tonight. But because you're saved and you can do whatever you want, because you're the old Holy Ghost and don't nobody tell you what to do, because I'm 21, I'm grown. You're going to be 21 grown and dead before your time. Amen. You got to wake up and hear what the Spirit is saying, all right?
Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light.
Put on. Wait a second. What sense would it make for me to lotion my arm right now without taking off what I already got on? You can't put on God without taking off some of the stuff you already got on. You saved, but you got some junk. You got some bitterness. You got some lying. You got some low self-esteem. You got some petty, messy stuff. And it needs to be taken off so God can stay on. Amen. How many of y'all shower in a full suit and tennis shoes? They're going to take you straight to Hillcroft and try to admit you as fast as they can. Because in order to get washed to the uttermost, you got to take some stuff off. But if I take all this off and take a shower and walk out the door, guess what they're going to do? They're going to lock me up for indecent exposure, because you can't just take something off. You got to put something on. And it says, cast off
the work of darkness. Yeah, you saved, but get rid of some of that dark stuff. Throw it off. You can't take some of that dark junk into 2019. Cast it off. But then put on the armor of light. Verse 13, and this explains how to do it.
Let us walk honestly.
Let us walk honestly.
As in the day.
Hold on. Let us walk honestly. It's okay to be honest. Well, can I borrow some money? Well, you know, I got these bills. Stop lying. Just tell them, I don't want to loan it to you because you're not good with your money. No. Stop lying to make other folk feel better. Do I look fat in these jeans? No, you don't. Yes, you do. I'm not lying for nobody else in 2019. I'm trying to cast the works of darkness off. If you're going to ask me, expect the truth. I'm just joking, but be honest. See, when you talk about casting off darkness, we think about sex and adultery. Start with the simple stuff. Be honest first with yourself. I don't have to tell you what's right and what's wrong. Pastor, is it wrong to do this? If you're honest with yourself, whatever you're asking, is it wrong? If you gotta ask, it's probably wrong for you. All right? Go ahead.
Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness.
Hold on. I'm a pastor that says it's okay to drink, because the Bible says you can't drink. But it says if you're going to put off darkness, that spirit of drunkenness, if you need a drink to calm you down all the time, you're not just social drinking, you are halfway alcoholic, and you need to let some of that stuff go in the new year. Well, I'm saved, and my pastor said, but everybody can't do everything. And when you drink, you a loud mouth, cussing, foolish drunk, and you can't live your vision every day with vodka down in your belly. Let it go. Don't be so free that you're foolish. Well, it's legal in Colorado, so I'm going to go and smoke me some weed. Your brain cells cannot handle another attack on your mind. Let it go. But what about, because y'all saved, y'all been saved all your life, and that ain't your issue. So read some more.
Not in chambering and wantonness.
Okay.
Not in strife and envy.
What about the simple stuff? Strife and envy. See, we're doing some new stuff for the church. We're trying to give people new positions. And if you get moved out of a position, then you're going to hide and smile because you love the pastor. But on the inside, you got strife and envy. And what God says, if you want to grow and put on him, you got to take that stuff off. You know what some of y'all need to take off is the feelings that you have on your sleeve. The chips that you have on your shoulder. That everything. Here's the thing. People get tired of walking around eggshells just to be in relationship with you. I can't crack a joke because you think I'm talking about you. I can't say this. I can't do that. Some of y'all got to stop being so sensitive and put on God. You are not that important for everybody to be talking about you. And I'm tired of some of y'all talking about your haters. You don't have a degree. You don't have no money. You don't have nothing. Well, how do you have so many haters? Some of the haters are in your head, and you got to take some of that stuff off. Everybody's not talking about you. Everybody's not laughing at you. Everybody's not mad at you. Some of that stuff is you. It's enough of that. Let's go to the next verse.
But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ.
What? It proves what I'm saying. Even though he is with us and in us, it says it comes to a place where you can actually put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like lotion, put him on. And do what?
And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Oh, here's the key. When you're saved, you have to be careful of your flesh, because your flesh will plot out your demise. And you got to be careful of making provision for your flesh, because I'm tired. And since I'm tired, I can come in and yell at everybody in the house. But you got to stop making excuses for your flesh if you're going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know it's a cliche, but WWJD, you don't need to wear it on the bracelet. You don't need to wear it on your shirt, but you need to wear it in your mind before you go off and do it what makes you feel good. Will it reflect Jesus Christ? Yeah. See, you thought when I said that just believe you can be saved, you thought that means you can do what you want. Yes, you can do what you want, but if you're going to be a deep growing Christian, you got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of y'all haven't put nothing on in a long time. It's like the woman who wear a whole bunch of makeup, but she look good. Her face is beat and look good. But when she wipe it off, you don't even know that's the same person. Is that the same person I met? Because of what they put on. But here's the thing. In your life, if you wipe off Jesus, it'll expose everything in you. You can't afford to go out your house without the Lord Jesus Christ all over you. Because there's some ugly stuff in all of us. Amen. And you don't know it unless somebody not give you the gift that you want in a couple of days. You'll find out some of the ugly stuff. Oh, but I want to close on a good note. There's God with, say it with me, God with us, God in us, and God on us. Those are some prepositions, some powerful prepositions. But I want to close on a high note. Let's go with this one. God for us. Woo! I feel like preaching just on that. God for us. It's not just God with us and God in us and God on us. It's God for us. And I could just really preach it, but I can't preach it better than what was already written. So let's put up the verse. Read Romans 8:31.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against
us? I can run around this church right now. If God be for us, who can be against us? It doesn't make a difference who gets in office. It don't make a difference who walked out on me. It don't make a difference what bank turned my loan application down. You can't stop what God has blessed. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Who can stop what God has done? Who can hinder what God has blessed? What God has for me, it is for me. I'm going to be what God said I'm going to be. You can't stop it. You can't block it. Devil, you should have killed me a long time ago. But if God be for me, who can be against me? Now, because of the way it was written, Paul was trying to convince the people. But because we're on the other side of this, we can change it. And we don't have to say it just like Paul said it. We can say it even better. Paul said, if God be for. But we can say, since God is. Since God is for me, who gonna stop me? Since God is on my side, who can let me down? Since God is my Savior, who can mess me up? What addiction can mess me up? What trouble can mess me up? Since God is on my side. He's the author of the universe. He controls the galaxies. He controls the oceans. And that person lives in me. He's with me. He's on me. And guess what? He's for me. I want you to be for me. But if you're not for me, it doesn't make a difference because you don't put breath in my body. You don't hold my oxygen. You don't wake me up in the morning. You don't start me on my way. You don't put food on my table and clothes on my back. Since God is for me. I wish I had one of them sanctified holy rolling church. Since God is for me, who can be against me? Pastor, you sound good, but you don't know what I faced and you don't know what I've gone through, and I don't have time to counsel you right now, but let me just read a few more scriptures before we leave. Read 8:37.
Nay, in all these
things. That's that same word again, all.
We are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Wait a second. No matter what you've been through, no matter all your junk, no matter all your issues, no matter all your insecurities, no matter all your depression, no matter all the grief you're facing, nay, in all these things, we are still more than conquerors. I may feel bruised. I may feel beaten down. I may feel like a loser. I may feel like it's never going to work. But I'm here to let you know, if God is for you, and since God is for you, and since God is with you, and since God is in you, and since God is on you, you are more than a conqueror. You are more than a winner. You are more than an overcomer. It may not look like it. It may not feel like it. But take this sweating, bald-headed man by his word. God is on your side. And all things work together for the good. And he's still controlling it. You don't know it, but he's like a puppet master. And the people that's causing you trouble, he getting ready to pull their number. He getting ready to pull their string. And I'm not saying he's going to cause them to die. We don't want people to die. But what he going to do? He going to make your enemies your footstool. The people that didn't like you going to be the ones supporting you. When you start your business, the enemy that you had going to be the first one to give you your first $20. Because when God turns something around, he turn it all the way around. When God hook it up, he hook it all the way up. Man, all these things. And how do I know that? Through him that loved us. Because remember, God had a son, but he wanted a family. And went through all of that. Came through 42 generations. And ended up in a manger. Left streets of gold and ended up in a manger because of his love for you. We talk about the manger, but what it would have been like for the Son of God to be an embryo happen to grow in a human belly, happen to suck a human breast to get milk. What do you think Jesus had to go through? But he left all of that because of his love for you. And you mean one addiction, two addiction, three addictions gonna keep you out of heaven? The devil is a lie. He's been through too much to save your soul. Come on, let's call. Let me just go ahead and close in Romans 8:38. Let me just read it myself. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Let me stop and say this. What if 2019 is no better than 2018 and no better than 2017? It doesn't make a difference. Nor things present, nor things to come. There's not a storm that can keep you down. There's not a trial that can knock you out. There's not an obstacle that can rob the God that you have with you, in you, on you, and for you. It don't make a difference what you face. You're strong. You're like a weeble wobble. You'll bend, but you don't break. You're like a Timex watch. You take a licking, but you keep on ticking. If God is on your side, it's got to work out some way, somehow. You don't need the pot at the end of the rainbow. You don't need a leprechaun in gold, because he's the one who controls the rainbow. He controls it all. And he's with you, he's in you, he's on you, and he's for you. Last verse. And it's 1 o'clock now. Nor height, nor depth. No matter how high you go or low you go, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Pastor, you don't know how perverted I am, but you don't know God's love. You don't know how broke I am, but you don't know God's love. You don't know how sick I am, but you don't know God's love. In the back, let's run through these again as we close. Put it up. God with us. Somebody say, God with us.
God with us.
God in us.
God in us.
God on us.
God on us.
And finally, God for us.
God for us.
The prepositional God. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Yeah.